Morning again to our Mount Zion family and all of our Facebook friends, and a happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful moms out there, especially to our moms here at Mount Zion. And like Bob, he and I have something in common because we are both adopted. And my mom told me, out of all the kids in the world, she said, I chose you. And so, you know, she knew how to make me feel special when I found out that I was adopted. And I was at a young age, but I didn't understand, but I understood what it meant to be a mom and the love of a mom when she told me that. So, Brother Bob had an excellent message this morning on mothers. And if you missed that, please check that back out on our website or on our Facebook page. This morning, my sermon's going to go along with Brother Bob's very well because I'm going to be speaking on godly families. And Paul told Timothy, and this is a passage that Brother Bob used, but he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 3, he said, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, he said, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And he says, and when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I persuaded that it is in thee also. How wonderful it was for Timothy to have such a faithful mom and a faithful grandma that instilled in him a genuine faith to the Lord. I believe that it's the dream probably of every Christian to have a godly family, and what a blessing to grow up in a godly family. And if you're married, to have a godly family, or if you're even blessed with children, to have kids and hopefully grandkids who are godly as well. But the sad fact is that not all have, Christians, have those godly families, and not all people in the world have families who are godly. And for the next few moments, let's just take a look at the scriptures and let's see what God has to say about godly families. If you want to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 12, he says to put you always in remembrance of these things. You know, and today as we are putting into remembrance our roles of a godly family, I want to stir myself up. I want to stir you up, hopefully, by putting in remembrance what God has to say about godly families. We all know, and we have our idea of what it is to be a godly family. And somebody might say, a godly family is a family who is faithful to the Lord. A godly family is one who has a great and a solid marriage that is surrounded with love. Or maybe a godly family is someone who raises their children well. Or maybe a godly family is one that is an example for others to follow. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, Paul told Timothy that godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You see, godliness, it can be characterized, if you want to look that up in a dictionary, it might say godliness is a religious life. Godliness is a careful observation of the law of God. Godliness is one that is proceeding from love and reverence for the divine character and his commands. Godliness is also like it's Christian obedience. So for a godly family is one that is well devoted and pleasing to God. Godly families, they begin with each individual in the family. That's where it begins with everybody in the family. And we can look in 2 Peter chapter 3 and starting in verse 9 when it says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. We know that the Lord, that he is long suffering and that he's not willing for any of us to perish. We know that the Lord, that he's going to come as a thief in the night. And we know that one day the heavens are going to pass and the earth is going to be burned. But look in verse 11 and 12 there. It says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, and what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. So what kind of person do each of us need to be? What kind of persons ought we to be in our conversation? You know, and as we look toward that new heaven and that new earth, we're told in verse 14, he says, you be diligent that each of us be found of him in peace, that we be found in peace without spot and blameless. Confucius once said, he said, to put the world right in order, he said, we must first put the nation in order. And to put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. And to put the family in order, we must cultivate our personal life. We must set our hearts right. Our hearts need to be set on things that are above. And we can read in Matthew 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So to have a godly family, we must first be godly ourselves. A godly family needs to have their home. It needs their home to have that atmosphere that fears God. And one way for us to create that atmosphere, that fearful atmosphere, is for parents themselves to fear God. For parents to teach that fear and to have that respect and respect to their children. We have to teach those things to our children. Parents, we need to be dedicated to the Lord's will. We can learn a lot from how the Israelites were told in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and in verse 12. And Moses was exhorting Israel, and he asked them, he says, what does the Lord require of thee? What does the Lord require of thee? That was to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to love him, and to serve him, serve the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul. Godly parents, we need that kind of dedication to produce the fear of the Lord. Godly families need to do what God has, what God says to create that atmosphere of fear in the home. And again, we can turn in Deuteronomy chapter 13, and we can look at verse 4, where the Israelites were told, you walk after the Lord your God. You fear him. You keep his commandments. You obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. We, as parents and as Christians, we are to do the same thing. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9, we're told to abhor that which is evil and to cleave, to hold on to those things that are good. In Romans 11, 22, Paul told the Christians in Rome, he says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. You know, and knowing the consequences of the goodness and severity of God, that should cause us as parents to teach our children to fear the Lord. We again look in Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting in verse 9, and Moses here is reminding the Israelites of teaching their children, the importance of teaching their children. He says in verse 9, he says, only take heed to yourself. He says, keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Especially, he says in verse 10, the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, and when the Lord said unto me, gather me and thy people together, and he says, I will make them hear my words, and they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and they may teach their children. We should teach our children to have a fear of God. And maybe another suggestion on that, and promoting that atmosphere of fearing God, is to recognize that the home, it was designed by God. And it's to be directed by Him. We look and we know that from Genesis chapter 2:18, we find that God said it's not good for that man should be alone. So God made man, He made him a helpmeet for him. And that helper was a woman. When moms and dads, when they trust in the Lord with all their hearts, when they don't lean onto their own understanding, when they acknowledge the Lord, what does it say in Proverbs chapter 3? It says that He shall direct thy paths. You see, when God is the driver of our home, and when we trust Him with our home, you see, when we trust Him with our home, we're going to learn to have that fear and that respect of Him. You know, there's a song, Jesus Take the Wheel. Well, we need to say, Jesus, take the family. We need godly families that fear God. We need godly families that emphasize spiritual matters. We need godly families that recognize that God is the designer and the director of it all. Godly families also, they have a respect for others. And godly families, they show respect for others by treating others the way they want to be treated. We read that from the Golden Rule in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Godly families, they show respect for others by being kind and gentle to each other. We can read in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, where husbands are to give honor to your wife as unto the weaker vessel. In Colossians 4, verse 6, when we talk to each other, we should be gentle. We should use wisdom. We respect others, man. We show that respect. Godly families show that respect for others by demonstrating love for one another. And it starts with the husbands in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church. It says in Titus chapter 2, verse 4, that wives, what are you told to do? You're told to love your husbands. You see, when we turn to 1 Corinthians, and I mentioned this before in a recent sermon, that I use this in marriages sometimes, and in 1 Corinthians 13, what is love? And love, it tells us exactly what it means to love. You see, love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't brag on itself. It isn't arrogant. Love isn't rude. Love doesn't seek its own. Love isn't easily provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. Love never fails. And as if we want to have a godly family, we're going to have the right kind of respect for others, the right kind of love for others. We have to have that in our family if we want to have the kind of family that God approves of. Another thing that godly families do is that godly families communicate with one another. You see, when families fail to communicate, there are risks that are involved. Marriage begins to grow apart. Parents and children, they become distant. They lose touch. They lose influence. And then the family could fail. Communication is vitally important in any successful relationship. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it tells us that husbands are to dwell with their own wives in understanding. Well, guys, how are you and I going to understand our wives if we aren't communicating with them? And wives, how are you going to understand your husband if you aren't communicating with them? You see, effective communication, it involves both listening and speaking. You have to have the combination of both. And when an argument arises, because it's going to arise in a family, you're going to have arguments. But you have to remember James chapter 1, verse 19. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Both parties have to remain calm and reasonable. You know, it's been said that God has given us two ears. So we are to listen twice as much as we talk. And if we can follow that rule, we can do well in our communicating. Godly families are also families that, godly families, they fear God, they respect each other, they communicate effectively, and they are also willing to accept their roles in the family. Husbands, are you willing to accept your role as the head of the house? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Your responsibility is to lead your family, and we lead our family by a godly example. And if we are following after Christ's example, if we're following after His example, our wife and our children, they will want to follow us. Because, you see, when we follow after Christ, we are following the perfect example that we need to follow. Husbands, are you willing to be the provider of the family? You know, if we husbands, and if we don't provide for our family, we know from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, that we have denied the faith, and that we are worse than an infidel, or we're worse than an unbeliever. Let us, husbands, work harder each and every day to be that great spiritual leader that our family deserves and that God expects. You know, it's been said also that behind every great man is a great woman. And so we go to our, we talk about wives, and wives, are you willing to accept your role? And as someone who submits to their godly husband, and many today, you know, you might find that offensive. But being submissive, you know, should in no way be taken as derogatory. God has set the man over the woman, and not as a dictator, and not to make her feel inferior. But see, submitting to the husband, that's God's plan for a godly family. And wives, are you willing to accept that role as keeper of the homes? And we see in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, that Paul says to the younger women that they're able to bear children and to guide or to manage the house. You know, during this day and time, many wives are also working outside the home, and that doesn't change our roles in the family. But, you know, if a husband truly loves his helpmeet, and she is helping him to provide for the family, then this is just a Matt, what Matt feels. Then I feel that we as husbands, that we need to help out our wives with the housework as well. For those godly families that have children, you know, children, are you willing to accept your role as well? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In verse 2, honor your father and your mother. Children, you may not always agree with your parents, but that doesn't mean that you have the right to disobey them or disrespect them. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, he says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You know, and if we as husbands and wives and children, if we want our family to be a well-pleasing to God, then we must be willing to accept our God-given roles in our family. Finally, I want to say that godly families will discipline and train their children. God teaches us that we need to discipline and to train our children in our godly homes. And the wise man said in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, he says that he that spareth his rod hates his son, but he that loveth him chases him betimes, or that chases him promptly. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18, chasten thy son while there is hope. Don't wait until he's grown to try to discipline your child, because he's going to be set in his ways. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Again, in Proverbs chapter 23, starting in verse 13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die, and thou shalt beat him with a rod, and he shall deliver his soul from hell. Now, I'm in no way advocating, and God is in no way advocating, for parents to abuse their children. However, I firmly believe that spanking a child is a means of discipline that the Lord advocates. Many parents today, they won't spank their child, and you may or you may not, and you're the parent, and you know what works best for your child. However, I've seen many kids that have not been spanked that are quite unruly. But I've also seen kids whose parents tell me they've never spanked them, that they are some very obedient children. What I do know, that when I read from the good book, What I do, I read in Proverbs 29, verse 15, the rod and reproof gives wisdom. The child left to himself brings the mother, his mother to shame. Parents, we need to bring our children up in the way of the Lord in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord in Ephesians 6, verse 4. We need to do as Israel was commanded in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in your house, and when you walkest by the way, and when you liest down, and when you risest up. You see, we as parents, we need to be watchful over our children. Children, you may get tired of us being in your business, but we know the effects of evil communication. We know the effects of bad influences on good morals. You may not like the consequences that your earthly parents administer to you. And if you don't like our consequences, you surely won't like our Heavenly Father when He disciplines you. So, recapping over what we've talked about this morning about godly families, and some questions we ask ourselves. What about our family? Is it a godly family? What's the atmosphere like in our home? How do you treat one another? Do you spend time communicating with each other? And are you willing to accept your role in your godly family? There's a song that I love, and I'm not going to sing it for you, but I'll read the words. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. Homes where the Bible is loved and taught. Homes where the Master's will is sought. Homes crowned with beauty, thy love hath wrought. God, give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes. Homes where the Father is true and strong. Homes that are free from the blight of wrong. Homes that are joyous with love and song. God, give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes, homes where the mother is in queenly quest, strives to show others thy way is best. Homes where the Lord is an honored guest. God, give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes. In the final verse, God, give us Christian homes. Homes where the children are led to know Christ in His beauty who loves them so. Homes where the altar fires burn and glow. God, give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes. It's my prayer for you and for my family as well to have a Christian home. And may we, with all that we have, be that godly family that God expects. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for You. We're so thankful for the many blessings that You truly and richly bless us with. We are so thankful for Your Son. We're so thankful for His perfect example. We're so thankful for our moms. We're thankful for the example that they are to us, the love that they demonstrate to us. We're so thankful that you have blessed us with many wonderful godly moms. Lord, we pray that You will be with each of us as a husband, as a wife, as children, and as a family unit, that we study Your Word and that we live out Your Word in our homes. God, give us Christian homes. Thank You for our homes. Thank You for our moms on this special day, this Mother's Day. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.